Welcome into the AU Radio Comics Corner.
I think you never outgrow your love of these stories.
A weekly look at new and upcoming comic book releases.
I loved anything that was imaginative, that was high concept, that was a little bit bigger than life.
Join us.
You guys are great.
Pull up a beanbag chair, settle in, and thumb through this week's issues with George and Travis.
Purveyors of entertainment, we hope.
Well, hello, everyone. Welcome on down to the next issue of the Caterpillar Cafe Comics Corner podcast, issue 57.
I like that you say welcome on down, but we're like above the store.
Well, you know, we have, you know, the store is called Adventures Underground. You know, I try and go for the, you know.
Oh, did I just ruin the illusion?
Yes.
It's like, so on Garagerama, we record on Mondays, but the show is released on Fridays. Hmm. And every week, Derek breaks that suspension. Every single week.
Good job, Derek.
Yeah, good job.
So yeah, here we are on another bright and early Wednesday morning talking about some comics. How's it going, Corey?
It is going well.
Awesome. Travis?
Well, it's going.
Ah.
Oh, you just get head shakes.
No, I was just being a jerk.
So starting it off with one that nobody up here has read this morning, but definitely deserves a bit of a spotlight. The next DC Black Label comic is out this week. It's Joker / Harley Criminal Sanity.
Why do you think they dropped that the week after Harleen? Like, it just kind of seems too crammed together.
You know, after the release schedule that they've been carrying, it does seem a little odd. Like, maybe give it a couple weeks.
Yeah.
At least.
Yeah. I just, that personal opinion.
You know, it could also be that they're trying to catch, you know, cast a wide net for maybe a similar crowd and just see, hey, maybe if these things are good enough, because Harleen was really, really good. Maybe they're hoping that the quality is so high that they'll get, you know, people on multiple magazine style black label comics.
Yeah, that's fair. And I'm sure they're trying to ride the Joker. So.
Oh, I mean, yeah. Also that. Yeah. They're very much heavily loading this week span of time around when the Joker movie comes out. So that makes sense.
Yeah.
I think they're just picking on me because I don't have anywhere big enough to fit all these magazines.
I believe that to be accurate.
Hey, you just made the monumental change of switching us over to magazine size boxes for the pull. So that's a huge sea change for the background. Not that this matters probably to any of you out there. I'm sorry.
Inside stuff.
Anyways,
I saw the cover for issue 2 of this book, and it looks really creepy.
Cool. Of Joker Harley. Cool.
Yeah.
Very cool. Looking forward to it. I definitely will read this. I just was reading so many other things last night that this would have taken too big of a chunk out of my evening to get around to other stuff.
I had a huge day, so I went home and read as little as I could get away with.
Perfect. So does Absolute Carnage start the alphabet of your book by chance?
No, I went by publisher.
Oh, but, okay.
But on that Joker front,
we
had the Year of the Villain Joker that had some contribution by Mr. Carpenter.
I had flipped through that one at the store, but I didn't get to reading it. That was a failure of mine last night, but it looked really good.
It did.
I don't really know what was it supposed to be about. It looks like it's tying into the Year of the Villain stuff. Was it actually part of that, or was it just an excuse to have John Carpenter come and do a comic?
Yeah, probably.
Okay.
All of this is totally okay.
Yeah. Yep. Well, and then Philip Tan was the artist on it, and he's amazing. I love him from all the way back in the first appearance of Larfleeze in Geoff Johns' run of Green Lantern.
Your love for Larfleeze. It runs deep.
It's been there a long time. He doesn't get brought up that much these days, and that's fine. He doesn't need to get brought up, but I do love him.
Hey, just go with your passions,
man. Yeah. Well, that whole run of Geoff Johns, you know, I mean, that's the reason I love Green Lantern as much as I do. But anyways, moving right along.
Yeah, there was a lot of DC out this week.
There was.
There was, 5 different Batmans.
Yeah, just about. That makes sense.
The 100-page Batman Giant.
Oh, geez.
The
for $4.99, right?
Yeah.
These are some crazy big comics for the same price that Marvel charges for normal books most of the time.
Yeah.
So
it's crazy.
Check it out. You want to?
There was a few of those out this week.
Also out was The Batman's Grave.
I didn't look into that very much at all. What's going on with that?
So it's doing a bit of funny work with the timeline. It starts off with a little soliloquy from Alfred talking about how, you know, he will still tend to the Waynes long after they're gone. You know, he tended to them while they were alive, and he will tend to them when they're dead, and, you know, their graves, literally their graves and all that, which is a nice way to set up a comic called The Batman's Grave. Because Bruce Wayne's plot is actually already laid out next to his parents in their little courtyard grave area. And so they're doing a little bit of foreshadowing there. This is the first of 12 parts. So this is going to be a really long, big spanning story. And there was so he's just starting the beginning of an investigation. There's a missing person. Well, that turns out to be dead, but, you know, it is a Batman story. So surprise, surprise there. And it's just this mystery that's going to unravel, and it will probably be a really long and deep story because it's written by Warren Ellis, who is doing Batman for the first time that I've read in my memory. So it'll be an interesting story.
Nice.
Yeah.
Also had the Batman and the Outsiders number 6.
Oh, yeah.
Batman Universe number 4.
Thank God we're not doing the sound every time we say Batman.
Oh, I know.
On this episode.
That would just be obnoxious.
We'll just have Sam cut it in every single time.
There we go.
Oh, my God.
Batman Ra's al Ghul, number 2.
Detective Comics as well, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, Detective Comics.
If you're a Batman fan, I hope you got paid this week.
Yeah, indeed.
Pretty much. We also had Event Leviathan number 5, and I got caught up.
Oh, and there was one more Batman too. There was the Secrets of Sinister House with the vampire Batman.
Oh, really?
It's their Halloween special.
Oh, okay, cool. That's awesome. Event Leviathan has been really good. We still don't know who Leviathan is, and that's fine because there's the one more part, and I'm sure we'll figure out next issue. But you know, it is what it is. Bendis is writing a really interesting mystery, like investigation style murder mystery, not murder mystery, but noir kind of cloak and dagger. Nobody really knows who to trust and all that kind of stuff. But and once again, I think I've said this before, but I'll say it happily as many times as I need to. Bendis is taking to DC's characters like a duck to the pond. He is just floating out there and having a good time, getting his feathers wet. It's a weird metaphor. I'm sorry.
I love getting his feathers wet.
He's doing some really, really good work. I have not enjoyed Bendis as wholeheartedly as I am right now. Oh, and to put a finer point on it, if anybody read Naomi, read Action Comics number 1015. It is a direct pickup from where the miniseries leaves off. And it was really good. I cannot wait to read more of this character.
I saw that she was on the cover.
Yeah, and this one actually came out last week. This was a bit of catch-up work that I was playing this week. But so good. If you like Naomi, you owe it to yourself to go back and pick up this comic. It's very obvious that this is the one. She's on the cover and she's grandstanding in front of Batman and Superman, and it's awesome.
I need to finish that series. I was like halfway through and then just got buried.
It's a goodie. You said you read that one, right?
Yes. The Harley Quinn and Poison Ivy.
I wanted to talk about that.
Oh, nice.
If you get a chance while we've got them, there is 2 variant covers by, I just had it. I looked at it so I would know. Mikkel Janin.
Oh, that guy's awesome.
And these are gorgeous covers.
Flip it my way. Oh, is that this comic? Oh, my God. Okay. I didn't realize that was for this comic. I thought that was a regular Harley Quinn comic.
No, and this is... absolutely gorgeous. There's a cover of Harley and then a cover of Poison Ivy, both rocking their headphones, looking adorable.
Yeah.
And I'm a big fan of these covers, and this series has been pretty fun. So
I was kind of a fan of the first one having connecting covers, but I wasn't a fan of how they connected.
Agreed.
It was like halfway through the issue.
The
cover.
You had to kind of
really
like
weird.
Yeah.
Huh.
So if you got them, you wanted to frame them, you couldn't really do that.
Weird. Also, The Flash was out which is featuring some art by the wonderful Scott Collins, who's been one of my favorite Flash artists forever, who I have a Hellboy commission that I got from at a convention one time.
Not to brag or anything.
Yeah. Not, of course not, Corey. Of course not. Anyways. No, super good. It looks really good. There's a bit of a zombie-looking Black Flash going on in this one, so it's fun.
Nice. So the Harley and Ivy that comes out of the Heroes in Crisis, we also had a trade paperback that came out. There comes out today. The Heroes in Crisis, The Price, and Other Tales.
Yep, and that's going to be collecting some of the stuff that was kind of peripheral to Heroes in Crisis. Like there was a crossover with Batman and Flash that's getting collected there that was written by Joshua Williamson.
Yeah, Batman and Flash 64 and 65. Yep. It also has the Green Arrow.
Okay, cool. Cool.
Where he was dealing with the Arsenal. That was his name, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, the Arsenal.
Cool.
And then Flash Annual number 2.
Right on.
But as a soccer fan, does it hurt you to say the Arsenal?
Just keep saying that word. Yes.
Who do you got next on the list?
I don't know. I can go wherever you want, man.
Okay, let's just roll right into Marvel.
Yeah,
we had Absolute Carnage, Miles Morales number 3, and this is, I believe, the end of the miniseries for Miles Morales.
Yeah,
and it leaves off on a spot where he can kind of come back in a big and bad way in the main book. So if you like Miles, this is actually, you know, it's worth getting the background to see what was going on with him between when he pops in and pops out of the main series, and will inevitably come back in a pretty splashy way here. So that's going to be fun.
Yeah. Amazing Spider-Man's continuing to tie into it.
Yes. With featuring Ryan Otley on the artwork.
Oh, that guy.
So, you know. It's okay.
We also had a facsimile version of Amazing Fantasy number 15.
Cool. Looks pretty fun.
If you wanted to see what art was like a long time ago.
Back when people had to draw with pencils.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We had a Doctor Doom number 1, which is written by Christopher Cantwell of recent comic book notoriety of She Could Fly.
Yeah, I was happy to see that.
And Salvador LaRocca on the artwork. This book looks really good. It was really interesting. It sets up in a weird way, and then they totally flip the table at the very end.
Yeah, he like gets accused of doing this huge terrorist attack that kills millions or something.
Yep. It reminds me of the scene in Civil War where Cap gets confronted by S.H.I.E.L.D. and then he basically just like breaks out. But instead, Dr. Doom kind of just beats up the people that are trying to take him down. And he's like, all right, you did this the hard way. I was going to surrender anyways. So, and then we'll see where it goes. It's really interesting. That doesn't really spoil too much because obviously he sets up that he is innocent from the get-go and we'll see where it all goes. But there's a lot of intrigue and, you know. Backstabbing,
they're coming out heavy with a lot of stuff, like right off the bat with the X series.
Well, this is definitely not part of that X-Men stuff, but it's Christopher Cantwell doing the beginning of what could be a pretty iconic run for Doctor Doom.
Cool, cool.
So, looking forward to it.
He's one of those guys that kind of shows up everywhere too.
He does, yeah. And I've been, I don't know that I haven't been waiting for this book, but I'm happy to see it and I'm excited to see where it goes because I do like Victor Von Doom, but he's so easily like one dimensional. Like it's really easy to write him as like just that really tropey kind of cliche kind of like supervillain. Yeah. But this seems like it's going to go in a really good direction.
Nice.
The 12-week mad dash of X-Men from Jonathan Hickman is done, only to be followed by another mad dash of a million other books that will eventually come out. But it was really good.
Was it?
It was really good.
You've read the whole...
I went and caught up. I was actually up to the last issue of both of them last night, and I started to read Powers, realized that was probably a mistake, went and grabbed House, and have now read all of them, and holy crap. If you've been reading, you owe it to yourself to finish because there's been a lot of buildup and there's a really, really, I don't know. I'm sure this is probably one of those things. I feel like I forgive more than I should, maybe, in certain comic books. And the whole weird controversy of the timelines and all that kind of stuff. Like, I get and I understand, and I still want to go back and read the first 15 lives of What's His Butt. I apologize for not remembering this guy's name. Harry something. The book that was, you know, under the magnifying glass is, like, kind of being a bit of a plagiarism-ish source for this comic. And at the end of it, I can see where they kind of hit a couple of those story grooves. But, man, did Jonathan Hickman not make it seem like he was ripping anybody off. This is a very Jonathan Hickman style story through and through, and he managed to make it an X-Men story that is complicated but entertaining as hell at the same time. So nice. That's where I landed on it.
We also had Gwenpool taking on the Hulk.
That the cover on that was cute.
Was that number three of Gwenpool Strikes Back?
Yeah
Nice.
So we're 3 of 5. We'll see if she gets her wish and becomes relevant.
Dude, I saw a cover of number 5 that was, and I think it was the main cover, but it was a photo cover of somebody cosplaying as Gwenpool looking slouchy. Like, is she going to come back to our real world?
I don't know. Maybe that's what they're suggesting.
Because that's where she's from, right? She's from here.
Yeah, she's from our reality and then goes there where she knows that comics are real.
Right.
Which is great when she gets to team up with Deadpool, because he also kind of knows that it's fiction.
Yeah. I bet.
Which is, it's tremendous. It's really good.
I need to get caught up on that. Did you read this?
I did.
Nice. Do you want to talk about it?
I can jump into it right now. Star Wars Journey to Star Wars, Rise of Skywalker, Allegiance. Number one. Now, first, Star Wars Tales titles are getting out of control.
You actually forgot an extra Star Wars in there.
Star Wars. Yeah. Journey to Star Wars, Rise of Skywalker, Star Wars Allegiance, number one.
There you go.
Fills in some of the gaps between this storyline will fill in the gaps between Last Jedi and Rise of Skywalker. Kind of shows the course that everybody's going. The focus is a little bit on Rose, Leia, kind of how the Resistance is trying to get back on their feet after the unholy decimation of Last Jedi. Rey continues her training and takes on some massive Gundarks. It's pretty awesome, like, all the way around. It's a great issue. It's gonna dive into the next three issues running up into, or five issues. I mean, running up into the release of Rise of Skywalker.
Nice. And I think if what they said in the back of the book is right, they're gonna be publishing these basically on a weekly basis until the series is done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
which should be really good.
There's, like, another one coming out too, like the Rise of Kylo Ren.
Oh yeah.
So is that a separate series?
It is.
I think so.
Yeah, okay. No, it is. And that, since I was wondering when that Kylo Ren one shot came out, if they had gotten into, like, the Knights of Ren or anything like that. I think this comic book is gonna do a little bit of that, while the movie will probably do a little more.
So the other Kylo was an Age of Resistance.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So that one is kind of standalone, whereas this sounds like it's going to be a full series. That's pretty awesome. Also this week in Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order Dark Temple number 3.
Good.
Which continues the story of our heroine as the Jedi, the last standing Jedi temple, is eradicated. And leading into the release of Jedi Fallen Order Dark Temple, the video game. Target Vader number 4 came out this week, which is one of the funnest runs of Star Wars comics I've read in a while.
Nice.
I mean, I love Star Wars comics, but this one is just fun because it's basically it takes place right after the Death Star at Yavin, and it's basically before Empire Strikes Back, and they've hired all the deadliest bounty hunters to hunt down Vader.
Oh, nice.
Except for the ones that end up working for him.
No, they're looking for him too.
Oh wow.
Who hired the contract?
He's so forgiving.
Okay. No, you know, it's okay.
That's kind of a massive spoiler.
Okay. That's cool.
But he actually, so spoilers, he brought them together for a different mission, and then they get outbid to hunt him.
Okay.
It's super twisted, but it's super fun.
How could you outbid the Empire? That's crazy.
Maybe the Empire has something to do with it. So there's a lot of stuff going on there.
So that seems like that would dovetail pretty easily into the next run of Star Wars that they're going to do after Jason Aaron jumps off.
Right.
Which is going to be Charles Soule, and it's going to be between episodes 4 and 5.
Yeah.
So that sounds...
It's right in that wheelhouse.
Is Charles Soule writing that comic?
Yeah.
Nice. Okay, cool. Well, that has to be what they're doing then. Yeah. Little miniseries to lead up to his ongoing. Yeah. That should be good.
So there's some really good stuff there. I think that's it as far as Star Wars.
There was also like another one of the Vader's castles, wasn't it?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, Vader's castle.
It's becoming a
return to Vader's castle. Yeah.
Right. It's becoming a little bit of a October tradition to do a little weekly miniseries of those guys too. Mm-hmm. They're really pumping out a lot of Star Wars comics.
I was like, oh, this will give me a segment that I can talk about and have a couple of issues. And now they're burying me. And I'm like, ah!
Hey, good problems.
Yeah.
I'm not sad.
Do you want to talk about maybe a couple more? We have a special segment this week. We got to talk about a new Kickstarter comic from one of the founding members and kind of the head of the Sirens and the Sequentials, which Jen is part of.
Awesome. So
do we want to hop over to that and then come back and finish up with some the wrap up?
Yeah. Okay.
A few more.
So listen to this cool interview that we did with CJ from Sirens and the Sequentials about Granny Gollum. We have two guests this week from the Sirens of the Sequentials. We have Jen, who's been on the show before, and CJ, who has a Kickstarter that has gone live for a comic book that she has coming out. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me on here, you guys. I really appreciate it.
We're excited. It'll be fun.
Yeah. I got to see a kind of a sneak peek at it of the little character that Jen made for you.
Yeah, I'm really excited. Those are so cute. People are really excited about those. They're adorable. I love those little golems.
I'm so excited. I'm glad that you're liking them. It was fun.
All right.
Yeah, I'm glad you're going to do it. I thought they'd be a really fun reward. They look so cute. My kids love the ones you made for them. They tote them around all over the place.
That's awesome. So did you want to get into kind of the background of the Sirens?
Yeah. Sirens Sequentials has been live as a comic book review website for about a year now, a little bit over a year. I am the co-founder and the owner of it. I do all the behind the scenes posting and networking and all that fun stuff. We are mainly a group of women, though we have branched out and added some men onto the team. Most of us came from, actually, I think several of us, all the co-founders, there's 6 or 7 of us at the very beginning, came from another comic book website that we dissolved ourselves from because they were very much Comicsgate apologetics. And we started our own space that was supposed to cater more toward being pro-women and pro-LGBTQ and a good safe space for trans people and people of color and the queer community in general, just to kind of get out there and focus more on indie comics and the type of demographics that don't get a lot of respect in the comic book communities now.
Nice.
So you just launched your Kickstarter, and you want to tell us a little bit about what it's about?
Absolutely. Granny Gollum is an idea that my husband Michael introduced me to several years ago. He's had it in his head for a while, and he feels like he's not a very strong writer. So after we got together, we talked about it a bit and we decided I try my hand at it. I started in a prose format a few times, lost a couple chapters of it, got mad and gave up. And I actually reintroduced myself to it pretty recently. And it just kind of evolved from there into a comic book script. And it just seemed to really work very well. And at its core, it's a story about a little girl named Ariella who lives with her mother and her grandmother in Tampa. And the grandmother passes away. The mother suffers from alcoholism. And her parents have gone through this very nasty divorce. And her dad's taken off. He lives in Kentucky. There's almost like no contact. And things come to a head with Ariella's mother. And Ryan has to go pick her up and take her home with him. And she's angry and she doesn't want to go. And she gets there and she's got her grandmother's ashes. And some little magic things happen. And she decides she's going to make a golem, which is a very important creature in a lot of Jewish folklore. It's mostly made out of mud and clay. And they are often used in the lore. If you put like paper in their mouth or write a certain symbol on them, it brings them to life. And they do the bidding of whoever created them. And we just loved that idea so much. So we made her make this golem. And it was supposed to be like when you're a little kid, you hear stories about like, you know, you put your fears and your secrets in a box, you bury them in the yard.
Yeah.
And it's kind of the same thing. You write what you're scared of or whatever you're feeling, this big, big feeling inside of you. You put it in the mouth of the golem and it's supposed to be a silly, silly superstition. You smash it and it's supposed to make you feel better. And so she's got all these big emotions in her that she doesn't know how to handle because she's such a little kid. And she does that. But an accident earlier on in the issue has caused her grandmother's ashes to spill everywhere and they get mixed up in the clay. And when she does the ritual, instead of destroying the fear, it brings the golem to life with the spirit of her grandmother infused into it.
Oh.
Oh, wow.
That's really sweet.
She goes through trying to come to terms with her mom's alcoholism and moving away to her dad's house with her aunt, who she barely knows. And her grandma is kind of there guiding her through it like she's always done through her parents' divorce and through her mother's disease and the DCF visits and the teacher's phone calls and all those things.
That sounds so, I'm so excited. I was excited before, but now I'm even more excited.
It's been pretty fun to write it. It's definitely been a very emotional and powerful story for me. My parents had a very nasty divorce when I was about the same age. And my dad took off on me and I didn't see him for like 12 or 13 years. And he had a really bad struggle with alcoholism. It's something that my entire family struggles with, but in their case, it just kind of tore them apart. He spent all his money on drugs or his race cars, and he took off and left my mom very young in her 20s with four kids. And everybody else in my family kind of got over it, and I never really did. I was very much a daddy's girl, and their divorce tore me apart. Like, I'm 27 now, and I've got my own kids, and I'll still cry listening to certain songs on the radio. And writing this story has been so powerful because I've been able to put myself back in the shoes of a seven-year-old and just all the questions I needed to ask, all the emotions that I felt, I've been able to put on the page in a way that I think is actually going to be very helpful to a lot of kids.
Nice. It's unfortunate that some of the best stories come from the most hurtful places, but if it helps somebody,
yeah,
it's really cool.
Very cool. How can we find how to help or how to pledge? Is that what it's called?
Yes. So back to Kickstarter. It's obviously on Kickstarter. You can check out Granny Golem. We hit within the first hour the projects we loved here on Kickstarter. So we're being promoted on their website as a project we love. So if you search Granny Golem, we are the first thing to pop up. And it's also on my Twitter, and we can drop the handle in the show notes with everything else. But if you go through there, it's my pinned tweet, it's my link in my bio, and everything is there. And there's quite a few reward tiers on there. There's the one with the golem plushies that Jen is doing for us. And then there's some with extra little art figures from the artist Brian, who's been absolutely amazing. And if you pledge to a physical copy, I've attached a special one-shot story that I'm doing with my husband, a prose illustrated one-shot for the Kickstarter about just a random adventure that the Golem and Ariella are going to go on.
I love that you have a tier for teachers, because this sounds like something that would be super powerful to have in my classroom. And so I love that there's an option to get multiple copies for your school. And I thought that's really cool.
Yeah, it's $50 for five copies. So essentially, you'll be getting $5 off of each issue. everything should be coming bagged and boarded, and obviously we can throw in more as needed. It's pretty ideal for teachers and retailers or librarians, because while it's a good story, I think a lot of adults will be able to read and relate to, I think it's more important to get it to like middle schoolers or high schoolers, just because you're at that age where you're still struggling with all those strong, powerful emotions. And divorce is so common now, and divorce with children involved even more so, that I thought it was very important to make sure I could find a way to include a way to get these stories out to these kids who need to be told that, you know, it's not your fault. And that's about how far, as most people go, you know, oh, you didn't do it. They also need to be told it's okay to feel like that. It's okay to be angry. It's okay to be pissed off. It's okay to hate them. And it's also okay to be able to move on and let go. And with Ariella's mother having the struggle she has with alcoholism and the inherent neglect that she pushes upon her daughter, and the reliability she has where Ariella is like taking care of the house and doing the dishes, and she's dealing with CPS when they show up, I thought it was important to also show that it's okay to cut those people out of your life if you need to, or to even forgive them, whatever you have to do for yourself. I don't think we have a lot of kid lit, especially in comic books, that focus on actual emotions. Everything is punches and superheroes and doing good things, but nothing that addresses the complexities of being an adolescent and going through your family falling apart.
Yeah. And it's also important to move past that whole stay together for the kids and everything will be fine.
Yeah, no, that's what.
All right.
I've got a friend who's doing that right now, and I'm just like, I need you to go the opposite direction. Just leave for the kids. It'll be okay. They'll be much better off.
Exactly.
Thing. Divorce is something that we don't talk about enough, I don't think. Not in a way that really takes into consideration how it affects kids. We talk about the statistics of them dropping out or getting pregnant or having their own divorces. But like in the here and now, nobody ever really addresses how the kids feel about it.
Exactly. Well, it's been awesome listening to hearing about the comic. So check out the Sirens and Sequentials. There will be links on the Twitter page. And you have a regular website that you can go to, correct?
Yes, we do. We have a Twitter. We have an Instagram. Our official website is officialsirensandsequentials.com, and that's also linked all over our Twitter account, which you can find through Jenner Eye, but the at on that is just S Sequentials.
All right. So everybody get out, throw some money at this, get that book, read it, and make yourself a better person. Thank you so much for coming on. We'll have to have you back. Talk about some comics.
Oh yeah, definitely. Definitely down for that. Thank you so much for having me on.
Absolutely. And we'll go back to the regular show.
What a fascinating interview that was. Good work.
Nice.
I liked it. That was good. Hi, George.
Hi, Corey. Sorry, I forgot.
You stepped out during the interview.
I must have. I apologize. I will. I look forward to listening to that.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun, and I'm looking forward to reading it. You've seen the pictures of the little golem that, mm-hmm. that Jen made, right?
Yeah, absolutely adorable.
Yeah, and if you want one of those, go in and pledge.
Yeah,
they're awesome. We also had from Albatross Funny Books put out Pug Davis.
Is that what? Is that like something to do with Grumble?
Not really, but you would think it was.
Okay.
It's this space hero with the head of a pug that partners with this dude named Blouse to fight aliens in space.
Oh. His name is Blouse?
Yes.
I'm so glad that Albatross Funny Books is back in action and doing their thing, because they make some of the most ridiculous but most fun stuff.
Yeah. So. And a lot of pugs for some reason.
Well, speaking of pugs, over to the other part of the indie sector, we had Battle Pug number 2 with what can only be described as the most My Little Ponyist cover that is not on a My Little Pony comic book that I've ever seen.
There's been a couple of those in the last couple of weeks. Last week they had this super colorful space pig. Star pig! I don't know why I say that wrong every time. But anyway.
Outer Darkness number 11 came out, which is fast approaching the end of this. They're calling it the first season of the comic book. Nice. And people are finally starting to figure out some of the plans and things that were happening in the background. Like the captain of the ship has a murder attempt and he's just about to kill the guy. And then they realize that they got to their destination. So they have to dovetail over and do other stuff. But I cannot express how much I love what John Layman and Afu Chan are doing in this book. It's so good.
We had Ice Cream Man, number 15.
We did.
Yeah, about a girl that is wearing somebody else's coat.
Oh.
And maybe find something in the pocket that she probably shouldn't find.
That's my jerky!
Is it a two-hour pocket taco?
If the cover can be believed, it's a might be a two-hour pocket finger.
Okay. Over at Boom, we had the first part of the Hellmouth, which is a Buffy and Angel crossover event.
Finally.
I know they've been leading up to this for quite a while.
Yeah.
Ronan Island, number 7, also came out.
Very nice.
We got the Wizard Beach trade paperback.
Oh, did we?
Yeah.
Oh, I fell behind on that one.
I need to read that.
Me too. Me too.
Is it gone already? The way you're looking at me?
No.
Oh, okay.
Well, it hasn't come out yet.
Oh, yeah.
go, Power Rangers, number 24.
Woo! Keep going.
For all you Power Ranger fans out there.
I've heard that's a really, really good comic.
Yeah, everybody that I've talked to that reads it are just loving it.
Yep. Shoplifters Will Be Liquidated is a new comic book out this week.
We need that sign.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so messed up. It's basically Judge Dredd if he was security at a department store.
Judge Dredd mall cop.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so good. Oh, and because we always forget to mention it when these things come out at this point, there's the record-breaking Spawn 301.
And all 8 million covers.
Yep.
I like how big they put 301 on the cover.
Yeah.
Like, look at it. Look how far we've come.
It's one past Cerebus.
Mm-hmm.
Which I'm glad that they've only put this on 301, because the whole time when I was talking about like the landmark 300th issue record break, I'm like, it's not. Cerebus went to 300 issues. But now they have broken the record. Yeah. So that's okay. Anyways, that's just my weird beef.
Good work, Todd.
Yep. Good job, Todd. You did it. You finally did it. And that's the end of my stack for the week.
There was some pretty cool stuff out. We had Baltimore Omnibus volume.
Oh, I really like that comic.
Yeah, it looked gorgeous. Yeah,
it was big hardcover.
You might need to race down to the store to beat me to that one.
Black Hammer 45.
Very nice.
Trade paperback came out.
Very nice.
Also from Dark Horse, we had Black Hammer Justice League number 4 or 5.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yep.
And the last issue of the Trout story came out this week.
I thought of you when I flipped across that one.
The Trout?
Yeah, it's a bonkers story by the guy that was doing Vinegar Teeth.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So it's that art, but just
about a fish.
Way out. It was a little kid named Trout.
Oh, okay.
I'm totally blanking on that guy's name, but his art is awesome.
Yeah, it's amazing. A Walk Through Hell trade volume 2 also came out.
By Mr. Enos.
Rhymes with weenus.
Lots of stuff. We didn't mention the Cobra Kai Karate Kid.
Yeah, number 1, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The story of the Karate Kid as told from Johnny's perspective.
The real hero.
The real hero.
The actual Karate Kid.
The victim of the story.
Right.
I wish I cared more about the Karate Kid.
So do we.
Well, IDW also had Usagi Yojimbo, number 5.
I do care about Usagi Yojimbo.
Which I got but did not read, unfortunately. Yeah,
which is the conclusion to that story arc.
Yeah.
In color!
Which I'm not... I don't... I'm not unhappy with it.
Yeah.
But it just kind of feels different.
He always had such a a vast like texturing with his art anyway that I don't think it really
needs it.
No. I don't dislike it. Like I said, I enjoy it just fine, but there was something about the black and white that just felt right for that comic. But
so read it in color, read it in black and white.
Yeah.
It's all really good.
You need more Ronin Bunny in your life.
Yes.
I'm just happy he's back in publishing on the monthly. That's super awesome. Well, not that he hadn't been, but I'm happy he's still doing it.
Yeah.
And I think on that note, there are so many more comics that are out this week. Come check them out. But we're running super long.
Yep.
And
definitely.
Tons of good stuff.
So thank you to CJ. Go check out her Twitter page. Check out that comic.
Don't forget we're a mere 2 weeks away from Halloween Comic Fest.
Yes.
Yeah, come on in. Get some comics. We got some really cool ones to throw out.
If you've never been down for that event, all it involves is us having comic books on a table specifically made for that day that you can come in and take for free.
And dress up, why not?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
We will be having a costume contest.
Indeed.
And you submit through our Facebook page. You submit your own photos. Everybody will vote on it, and you will win prizes.
Huzzah!
Yes. Well, with that, thanks for tuning in, and we'll catch you on the next one or on one of our other podcasts. That would be AU Radio or The Underground Files.
Indeed.
Thanks for coming down, Corey.
You're welcome.
Travis.
Thanks, George.
Thank you, guys.
Bye.
You've been listening to AU Radio Comics Corner. Music is provided by CubbyandBenSound.com. Views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Adventures Underground. AU Radio Podcast is a production of Adventures Underground. Copyright 2018. All rights reserved.
If you'd like to contact the show, follow us on Twitter at AU_radio, Facebook at AU Radio Podcast, Instagram at AU.radio, or you can email the show at podcast@advunderground.com. You can also support this show and all the shows on AU Radio by becoming a patron of the AU Radio Network. Find us on Patreon as AU Radio at Adventures Underground. You can help us create this podcast and soon several others with as little as $1 a month. Thanks for listening.